Yeah, so that was three quite different films. Maybe I just thought, as you saw already, with all the film works, it's of course not possible in that complexity or as we do that, to do it alone. And that's something which is maybe of importance anyway. I really like to work together with other people, and I have small doubts about the subject concepts of being this artist, working only, I don't know, as one person, because I think if you look beside behind the facade, it's quite a lot to do for quite a lot of people, and I never understood the whole thing with this one name, blah, blah, blah. And so...
How would you like to be labeled? I mean, you mentioned your friend as a conceptual artist, your friend Natasha. What would you label yourself?
No idea. At the moment, I'm maybe in a crisis with that. No, I have no idea, because I'm a conceptual artist, but I think I'm a big art fan, and I try my best to reflect the concepts we have at the moment of modernistic or postmodernistic art design, and somehow all the films and also my sculptures try to answer or reflect or be in connection with this kind of modernistic design. We normally put the art in, and that's quite easy then to see that it's art if it's in a white cube system or something. And if I did this film, the first dancing film was also thinking, you never see bodies dancing in a gallery, or, you know, I mean, I really wanted to bring the body in the more or less, not too much to body reaction designed concepts of gallery or museum or something.
Yes, but maybe just to go
step back. Yeah, we go step back and see now we have, this is another show, I don't want to show it even to you. It was
you don't want to show
it. And maybe I can show one concept here. I did a room, it was a show in Sezession, and they asked me to, in Vienna, which is a very nice place to be. And I did an installation, and in that installation, I tried to put the last video, I tried to find a place for the last video, and I decided to make...
For the hospital bone dance.
Yes, the hospital bone dance. I decided to make some sculptures. It's a reference to Isamu Noguchi. I don't know whether you know that artist. He was quite great in the 50s and 60s or so. And it's a little, a bit like a reference, the sculptures around, and the film is starting every 5 minutes, so light goes on and then light goes off, and then Deborah is really calling, because my filmmaker friend Deborah is the other woman in the film, she's then really like something like asking people like, hello, are you around or something, and you hear it in the whole museum, but and you can go there, and then the film starts, and then it takes 5 minutes, and then the film stops, and the light goes on again. But it's only in one room, and the reason was that I don't like to have sound all over in the whole show. So I tried to find a system how to give the other art pieces I did a chance not to be in relation to that film, so to say.
A second. So, to go back, because that is the show where you have tried to use that film that we just saw now for the second time.
Genau.
But it was produced on first level for the show, which was called like what?
No matter how bright the light, the crossing occurs at night.
Who invented that poetic title?
I think it's Walter Benjamin. It was so hard to find a title. We tried to, I think it was more or less the idea of Anselm Franke, which was also the curator of the show, and we never find all three girls of us, Natasha Sabra, Gigan, and Ines Schaber, we didn't somehow find a nice ticket for that show. We tried to make a show where we not showing our art pieces in, like you know, like this is the art piece of Judith Hopf, this is the art piece of Natasha Sabra, Gigan, and this is the art piece of Ines Schaber, but we tried really to work somehow together and try to find a display form to show all our works, which is quite quite of difference, because Ines is a photographer mainly, and Natasha works quite a lot, and she's very good with doing somehow nothing in terms of object kind of related thing, and I'm more interested in this kind of object-related sculpture production on the one hand, and then this narrative try to make those pictures in the form we saw. And whenever you have this like differences, you can separate, but maybe we thought it would be nice to bring them together also, or to find a level where to
bring the three artistic positions together. How many works would you identify in that show? I mean, would you have one?
Maybe we should start with this one, because if you would entrance the
maybe for those who have been there, we are going to go to Kunstwerk again.
Yes, in Berlin. quite young Kunstverein, maybe, I don't know the English word.
Kunsthalle,
and it's a place run by different curators. At the moment, there's Susanne Pepper curating the whole house, and we were invited by Anselm Franke, a curator which is working now in Antwerpen, I guess. And he invited us to work out a concept to talk again about the ghostly theme, and in terms of something is not perfectly right. But we don't want to make analysis or something. We don't want it to make documentary films about structure of society, and that's where maybe one level we were asked to work together. And so we designed the whole show as an automatic show, as I said before. And if you would entrance this show, you would be in the first room, which was mainly designed by Natasha. And I don't know if you recognize that also in Stockholm, but in Berlin we have quite a lot of light, which is automatic, Lichtschrank, I don't know the English word for that, but you don't have, if you go through hotels or something, you always go and pass by a border, and then the light is going on. And that was the
movement fact, detector,
you know, something like that. And Natasha did this kind of detector thing, where if you move, you will enlighten the different states where you're in. And if you don't move, the light is of course not working, and so you will stand in the dark. And then there's appearing a text of Kathy Ecker. It's a quote of the book Algeria Wars of her. Kathy Ecker is a more punk rock related philosopher from America. She worked quite a lot in San Francisco, as a side note, you notice. And she did that book. The theme of the book was to bring the Algeric war to Paris, so to say, in a fantasy. And her language is very wild and very 80s kind of. And that if you don't move, you could read that quote out of that text. But and if you move there, you will start the whole thing. So that is a few in the whole show. We made a very nice curtain. And a big stage, and the stage is somehow related to the architecture, in that it's quite a big hall. It was quite a big space to show, and as you see, we have this atrium in the ceiling, and it's and the stage was somehow the fold, as the ceiling fold down, so to say. And
so same size.
Yes, same size, but a little bit disturbed. And then and we designed three different light situations. And if you enter the show, it was more or less like a tour. Now we see the situation if the a light was on, and then you have the possibilities to watch a historical photography that Ines Schaber was presenting. And it was photography of children working in a mine of, I think it was Silver Mine in America, a children's work, and it's a very historical photography. And
maybe just as a question, so I remember when I was seeing that, I mean, I actually used my mobile phone just when I came into the room. It was dark at first, and then I tried to lit these kind of this size prints, and I was very, very surprised when I saw these prints that it was indicated in the label that they were from 1912.
Yes.
And these were original prints from 1912. How did you manage to get those?
She managed by engaging her. She was...
So it was a real loan from the museum?
Yes,
for the,
I think it was New York.
Smithsonian or something. Yes. So you got original...
Yes. Silver prints.
Silver prints, fantastic.
Because the whole idea of the idea of photography is quite ghost related to, I don't know if you know this, fantastic books of first photographies where people make quite a lot of tricks with photography and have this spooky double development tricks and things like that.
Certain formations that come out of the body.
Yes, and things they've tried in these days to make also photography of the thoughts. All around. Yes, and but she made the relation to another phenomena we have now nowadays, and that's another archive history, and that's of the archives like. Corpus, which sell historical pictures in the internet. I don't know if you know that, but Corpus, for example, is one archive which is selling the images via internet in our days, and everybody can use it, but you have to pay for it. But they own this.
They own the
yes.
rights.
Yes, and that was the reason this we brought some originals, but. They could buy them, and then they own these originals. You can't have them anymore. They are in the archive. You can use it as a copy, but not as the original. And the whole thing of what is original and what is the copy, and that I think that was basically the theme of Ines and of her work, I would say. And
she showed this video.
You know, she was showing the video. She was showing the video where she went actually to the. Archive of Corpus in Philadelphia and
to the location.
To the location, and it did some documentary photography because the archive of these pictures is also in a mine as the original pictures we had from this children's work. And you are not allowed to go in that mine, of course. It's a very secret place, and it's a little bit like this kind of. You don't know, and you have to have license and blah blah blah. And the thing was that
obviously it's private property.
Yes, it's totally private property, and also, yeah, it's now common knowledge we have now. It's owned, and it must be quite huge. And she and the mine photography from 1910 was of course also forbidden, and it was not allowed to make pictures of children working in that location. So we had this kind of what is allowed, where is the line, who is now the author of what, and how do we use all those? Do we think about that somehow? And then after I think it was 4 minutes. And the light changed, and to this nice object, I have to say because it's my sculpture. Yeah. and then you had the possibility to see for example, my little video I did with Deborah. You see it here on the side. And I did again this kind of 50s bamboo kind of architecture around. It was maybe just I don't know. I don't want to say too much about that. And just to get an impression. And inside this stage, we had music also, which was also part three then. The light was going off, and then the video was going on, and then the video was going off. And then we had this Bob Dylan song, What Do You Feel? Interpreted by Fritz Ligurin from Stereo Total. It was quite amazing that nobody was coming and asking whether we had some license to use this music, because it was really a big show. And it's always interesting because to think so much about it, but I never, I never had any problems with copyrights or you know, with the things. He was singing, and we thought with the whole Bob Dylan idea was that I think that at least everybody in society, in Western society, knows that song. I mean, I guess, and it's quite collective knowledge somehow. And I also think that everybody has a certain memory if you hear this song. I don't know, and I think they are quite different in terms of age. But it's hard not to know the song, and somehow we thought it's nice to bring in. As you see also on the side here, we opened all the architecture, which is normally hidden, like doors where you could go out, and you see the outside. So you had the possibility to see the outside. Here we see the court. Normally you have this door closed because you need this nice design of. This is the another art piece of Natasha Sadra-Kikian. And she made a very strange double projection only by the light of the beamer. And it has this strange effect. If you walk through, you could read something. But if you don't walk through, it's just like, oops, maybe I have only one slide with me. That would be sad. Because if you step out of the slides, and the two words lie over each other, and you see just like some salad but you can't read it, and it's very strange because whenever you pass by, the shadow can read the text in front of it, and also on the back of the person, you will see another word, and it's the words were again out of the text of. Kathy Ecker and the book I mentioned before, and it's all words of the book which describe people somehow, which they adjective is the right word though. Yes, and this was do you see here
this
the
is females? The light situation.
Yeah,
the lit
again
situation.
The lit situation, and we had the possibilities to see the documentary photography of Ines, which decided to not hang the. A photography, but stand them around the stage, and the last step in the show would be to see this film Ines did, and that was something like a lecture where somebody goes to that archive to Philadelphia, having quite poetic thoughts about what's real and what's reality, a real thing, imaginary thing, or copy and things like that. So that is one example to show, to bring together these videos, and we really wanted to give the pieces a chance to develop, also if they were in one room, so to say.
So now, as you have been kind of explaining a little bit, it is a complex
yeah.
show. You mentioned before that a lot of people found it too difficult.
Yes.
I didn't. When I was visiting the show, I was rather amazed because it was very simple. And when you use the
mm-hmm.
term automatic show, I think that's quite interesting because it explains to me how you were thinking it as a kind of chain reaction of automaticized
mm-hmm.
Light on, light off, looking at that video, looking at
mm-hmm.
something else, listening to the song. So the choreography, which is actually mechanically in a loop. No,
yes.
That's the way.
Yes.
But I think now, as this has become a little bit more clear,
mm-hmm.
of course I would like to go back a little bit to the films,
mm-hmm.
to you working with the medium video. And maybe we can later come back to this relation, moving image and exhibition display. It is, of course, in the first level, when I see them again, also in this kind of, let's say, overview, the three and one after the other, it's quite kind of becoming clear that you're using narrative structures, which, in the first place, don't connect so immediately to what was maybe an art video
yes.
in an earlier time. So I would like to know a little bit more about that, especially your relation to other artists that have tried to step out
mm-hmm.
of the aesthetics of art videos, like they were have been done in the 80s or late 80s and early 90s. And of course, there is an element to that which is Maybe you can talk a little bit about how you develop the narrative structures.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, talk about the iconographic program in that. I mean, they have a certain logic. As you described the first one, for example, that you were heavily involved in the post-production to give it a certain finish. Yes. And I think that is, again, related to a certain iconographic choice. And maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think it's quite a process. I was never thinking that I would end up making videos somehow. I was always supposed to be more handcrafty or something. And I had always like this clinch with art in terms of modernistic ideas, which is not too much happy about narratives.
So,
I think,
like, the opposite would be the experimental film of the...
Yeah, and also the whole 60s. Picture debate, so to say, coming from the 60s or coming from even before, had, a quite strong idea to leave narration, which was not... which was given maybe more to film or to photography, but in painting, for example, you don't want to have narration as I did my studies, they always said then it's too illustrative or something. Mm-hmm. And they made it like low art somehow. It would be not this kind of art where you feel something new or have a new idea towards society by watching Pollock or something. You know? And I think it's very nice, and I like this feeling also to sit in this nice white rooms looking at Pollocks, but I thought on a certain point, and I don't want to make jokes, it's really that I thought it's a little bit kitschy to follow only this line, and I had at the end quite a lot to the wish to say something, and I tried to find out how to do that without getting too esoteric, so to say. I would, and I think the whole form and content debate has this problem that it has this kind of you can't talk about pictures or you have to analyze the structure in a certain way that it's it's somehow burnt down at the end that you don't have any chance to make some interpretations in different ways. I mean, I appreciate quite a lot structuralistic kind of thinking and also political thinking and feminist thinking. Learned quite a lot from that, but I don't want to I would never make a documentary film, for example.
But, so, how did you learn to do it? I mean, just from scratch, okay, I want to have this...
by doing.
Yeah, so learning by doing.
Yes, and...
The Uninvited doesn't look so improvised on that level.
Actually, this is the most improvised. I don't know. It's like it's really like I can't say I didn't learn not if I did my art studies our class did my studies in an autonomous class and we were in the class which had the first computer. The other I think you can't think about that in our days, but it was from 1992 to 1997 or something, and it was quite forbidden to use even the computer in art academy. Nobody believed in computer relation toward art, and it was that we were so hardly confronted with that, and that's why we had then somehow the drive to find out what could we do with that, and being also a good friend of pop cultural relation, as you maybe see in the films. I had quite a lot of connection with electronic music people and blah, blah, blah. And so I learned to use that, and at the end it developed in that direction that I was doing video. And I didn't want to make the videos all by myself as these artist videos, but as more like a collective thing that you maybe join together to do something.
Maybe that could be the difference towards other types of artists' videos from, let's say, a similar production period. I mean, I had to think about Stan Douglas and also Herbert Birchler, who are both exploring in different works the uncanny and maybe certain aspects that you are interested in. But of course, their results, their video is very different from yours.
Yes, I think also they see it more as an object.
Sorry?
As an object. They see video as more like in an objective, as it
objective.
Would be an object, you know, like a sculpture or something. And that's not my, I would say, I would more relate to the video culture that shines off and then disappears again. It's not that I want to make a sculpture or something. And Stan Douglas, it was very funny because I showed this Stan Douglas, he was showing up in that zone, and I was showing for the youngsters down, and then I had quite a lot of discussions with him, because for him it's not so easy to take this bad acting, so to say, and he did this, it's always embarrassing, you know, and the point of embarrassment in acting or in art, or this is always something which is interesting for you,
yes,
but not for Stan Douglas. And Stan Douglas had this other idea where he gets super perfect and amazingly into it, that he tries to make this more or less object-related films, I guess. I mean, he has good friends always where he had his themes of, and I have also good friends, and that's some point where we could meet, because we're a fan of literature also. But I decided quite actively that I don't want to do it in that direction, because I want to be more in touch with interaction at the end.
But here comes my other question. I was wondering, I mean, you have, let's say, in a very interesting way, chosen the option to go with very little spoken word. I mean, it's rather limited, the aspect of the spoken word in these three films that we've been seeing. But still, I have the feeling that they might be related in a strange way to a perceptive context, which could be a German context. What are your experiences with showing your work outside of the German language and German cultural context?
Yeah, that's really true. But I think somehow it's quite the surroundings. Or I had the feeling that it was so related to that change of maybe this, what I said before, with the wall was coming down. It's quite different. For example, I was I teach in Lisbon in an art school. I always do a workshop, and I was invited to show it in Goethe Institute, and then I showed uninvited, and I was really looking forward how the people react, because they don't have this problem. They always drink coffee for 5 minutes, and they talk and they react, and this film is a little bit like about not to react too much together, or it's a little bit like having more this kind of and they make quite a thing out of that. They go to a cafe and have this like latte macchiato, which was in fashion, and I don't know, but it was very funny, because the people said then to me, or the people, I mean, people which get in conversation to me said that they somehow thought that that would be the Europe, and they always behave kind of wrong, and that,
it was very... So this was identified as kind of the European standard.
This is like
standard.
A successful kind of idea, and it's not chaotic, and it's not dirty, or, you know, not, I mean, I have to... don't take my English too serious. It's maybe I do not find the right words, but it's about functioning somehow. If you go in that direction or with this kind of in these frames, the whole thing would functioning. And of course, it's so funny if it's not functioning. And there's quite a lot of nice workarounds also with other Kabaddi talks or culture, which is not so, which always feels that they are not functioning somehow.
So you would say that the Portuguese audience hasn't been able to see the tension that he wanted to build up.
They were laughing more about that.
So they didn't get the point.
I have no idea. Even if I look at that film, it's hard for me to get the point too. I mean, it's really like I'm staring at it again and again, because I was thinking, I really wanted to bring something... I wanted to say something about this architecture and the whole lifestyle. And when I showed that film in Braunschweig at Art Academy with in the class of experimental filmmaker Birgit Heim, she was super angry about that film and saying that I'm so arrogant toward the norm, so-called normal people, and I gave them the wrong picture. And you know, I always have this like the people tend in Germany, they tend to say this would be from a perspective above, And I would not have the best relationship towards that kind of society or class or something. And I think that's true. I don't have it. It's,
It's, are you aristocratic?
No, it's not. It's just that I don't like this. I don't like this kind of trying to push out problems and conflicts. And I think this is really of importance that we are able to have some conflicts, and if you, and that we see them, and it's, and we can't live in an urban kind of surrounding not having conflict zones. And if you make everything like in a private zones, of course we will lose that. And that's what I basically want to say. But
so you were very happy about Birgit Hein's reaction.
Yes, I'm not. I'm quite tolerant. No, it's really like, and now I don't feel like so connected to the films that it's my like big expression. It's really, I really try to find connection to not saying that I think I don't want private urban places because nobody's interested in that sentence anyway.
To come once more to
sure. So was it, could you then see it as like your comment on something of a German society similar to the way Martin Parr would be commenting on British society, just because he's next to us here, and because I find his work also very enclosed in a British...
It's not so reduced, because you have this whole idea of this like coffee latte macchiato or at the end Starbucks system, or you have that I think it's also American style, or it's North European style of how things should go, and it's not, I think it's only you, it's getting quite far in all kind, I think that's the thing which is functioning quite a lot in a broader sense, not only in Germany or something.
No, I was thinking more about your relation, like her criticism, or your relationship to the people in the film as kind of an ironic, or a kind of, would you go that far? Do you say that you have that kind of distant relationship to it?
Yeah, I think because I'm not, I think having, I was always like, because of my history, I was never inside of this kind of middle class society. I always felt like maybe also as people with different sexuality or blah, blah, blah. I always had a very, very interesting relationship to what's normal or not, so to say. And it's very interesting for me to see that it's so in fashion to be in this normal kind of state. And I would, I decided now after this discussion with Birgit Hein that I have to say that I really dislike that, and and that I don't think this is nature. And
that this is nature.
Yeah, that because in our days I think everything tends to get to normalized kind of. Don't destroy your body. Don't take care. And if you smoke or if you drink or use the wrong drugs, it's all your fault. You know, this is. I think these are all the signs of change from a disciplined society where the doctor was saying, like, please could you stop? And now you have to learn by yourself all the things. And I think it tends to get quite brainwashed.
I think it's a very good link here to Hospital Bone Dance.
Yes.
Because I perceive Hospital Bone Dance also again in a programmatic sense outside of a modern setting, outside of contemporary setting. I don't know, because we are in that setting, but iconographically, I was when I saw it first. Very much reminded of certain late medieval, early modern times iconography, the one of the Totentänzer. I don't know whether you want to relate to that. I mean, which was, of course, a time of crisis, of transformation, of death, and so it became a kind of rather symbolic thing. And I don't know how you want to relate that type of image program to the present time.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. I thought also the film reminds me on children films also from Czech or something. Mm. You know, like there's this from Czechoslovakia, for example, that if you have this tradition where you have this like it's possible that you have this fantasy in there. And I mean, all the figures, the mummies and all this, mm-hmm. This is quite also stupid, I would say. I mean, this mummy, I made quite a lot of research of mummy films, and it's amazing because it's just like, they have just like this falling out. It's basically the mummy thing, and then they have this like, doctors running around saying like, please, he has to go back in this, like this. It was more
back into the grave.
Yes, back into the grave, and then we have this hand made with this. And I was thinking, like, I mean, this is quite stupid, I think. I mean, the whole narration of mummy culture, for example, it's not too highly.
It's also very romantic in artistic sense. Early 19th century, mm-hmm. it would start with a kind of explosion of literature, mm-hmm. of those novels.
It's like so. I have no idea. Yeah, maybe it's.
In terms of art history, there is something going on in that phase.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, the whole ghost thing and the whole things like something's showing up outward and gets a figure is related to the change from. The times where society changed into industrial society. You know?
Yeah, I think that was interesting.
I think this architecture we was filming in was more from the 70s, actually. And I thought it was this urban Krankenhaus. It's also like maybe it's from the same time as this nice building here, but it's more like in this brûle béton kind of style. And it's built for quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think they don't exist anymore in that way. It's more that they have it now private or something, this kind of architecture. And then I tried to make something that you could behave differently in this kind of quite organized architecture or setting. And of course, I also play with remembrance, I guess, because everybody knows that if you go there, you really feel alone. I think this is maybe quite a strong picture of the film, that you had maybe the experience that something is going on, but you don't have a clue, and you are really like all these waiting people. It's weird that they are lost somehow, you know. And and I don't know. And in terms of
that's close to kind of Orwellian.
Do you think so?
No, but this lost thing.
Yeah, and also
the setting is somewhere else, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, and also maybe I try to have this Ken Loach kind of like picture of society of photography, where I try to bring also in this kind of children and different kind of people.
So, who is your ideal public?
No, I mean everybody, of course.
But where do you show? This
this film was shown quite a lot in art context, which I was quite surprised about, I had to say, because I thought in art context people would think it's too stupid, because it's nice, but
it's,
you know,
too
but,
bad.
No, not bad, but it's just like it's not serious enough or something. Even if I take that all quite serious, and I really want to say that in that way, and it's quite far away from cool. Very structured kind of video making, and I really wanted to try to find the border where people were saying we even won a video prize in Germany, and in art context, and we were like, this is interesting, because I didn't thought our process was so different, because we get to know the children, you know, they invented the dance by themselves, we had quite a lot of fun with them doing that, and I mean, it's not only about fun, but it's quite alive, and it's not so strategic. Next step, I will make a film only about the literature, da, da, da. Even if I'm so related to literature, I don't want to work like that. I don't know.
No, I understand that, but exactly that's where I would say, I mean, in the setting of the exhibition, mm-hmm. in Kunstwerke, mm-hmm. it is very clear. It's even a contrast between, mm-hmm. let's say, the white cube and mm-hmm. the a certain way also that you're quoting or using a Noguchi element. Mm-hmm. So there is a style question, so mm-hmm. to speak. And maybe when you're working with exhibition design and exhibition architecture, you're more into those questions, whereas in the film you're is that like a Standbein Spieler, two sides of a medal?
I have no idea, because it's not so strategic as I want to work. I really want to find this intention, or it's not my kick to earn quite a lot of money, and it's not my kick to find out the best style to present or something. It's more that I try to find relations where it's just not very nice to work. Or if you have the possibility to work with three very nice artist colleagues, that everybody is shown in some room. It's nicer if we have fights or conflicts. What I said before, I really like conflicts, and because I think they try to make them away, you know. And I really want to work with this conflict. There is quite a lot of conflict.
And maybe also the potential of growing further than the conflict.
Yeah, of course. And then that was, I don't know. I think it's of importance to see that we know the other style already quite a lot.
Yeah.
And the dominance of the picture, the dominance of the architecture, and stuff. But maybe it's too boring if we are, because people are leaving so hardly.
I was thinking now, yes, exactly. Same question. Maybe there are some questions with you for Judith.
Well, I have been thinking throughout, I don't know if it's a clear question, but just about all these transgressions, which are, I have been thinking about all these,
One more time? You should retain
the time. Okay, I have been thinking about all these transgressions, to call the film Uninvited, and to insist on badness and on some sense of being outside, how normality is enforced in certain situations. So there's a lot of play with that. And yet this slides that you showed of the installation, I can't really relate to this idea of conflict when it's so staged, because the conflict really has to come from something that is, it has to be truly coming from a situation or from a set of different positions. I really don't think it is possible to stage a conflict, but why is that productive?
I don't want to stage conflicts for the reason of conflicts. If I go, if the sensation is inviting me, I of course know where I'm going, but I also know, you know, which I like. It's not that I'm dislike or want to make, normally the people, I think art was, after the World War II, there was always this groups of art which really tried to be against bourgeois kind of culture, and they had this idea that you fight against that, and I think art went quite a lot on the nerves of quite a lot of people, and I think that changed totally, which is maybe nice. It's just a fact, you know. It's not, you can't, the whole Kippenberger idea, even, which is from the 80s, this kind of being quite hardcore macho thing, it's not so interesting, or you can do that, but I think the models are already fixed on that as a subject matter. And if I go in Secession showing that film, I really try to work with the history of Secession and also with the culture of Secession. But bringing in this film, for example, I know that it's on a line, because the whole theater thing of this, which is in there, you know, which is of interest. I think that I found it very interesting, for example, that in art critique in the newspaper, art in film is quite vanishing at the moment. It's always a theater, and you don't find any critical articles about Documenta, which goes deeper, or, you know, it's more on the surface. But people like art quite a lot, which is nice. And even FAZ, which is quite a bourgeois newspaper in Germany, commented that after a while, that they found out that they don't write anymore about art because they don't find any conflict zones in art, and they find it's nice, but somehow you feel that the artists are quite stressed with their lifestyle, and they have to go from one documenta to the next biennale in 3 months, and you see that the work has to functioning, and you always see that's not working out too good because everybody seems to have this extreme tunnel and flying from every week, you know, if you are successful, so to say, if you want. So this is one thing. And then, interesting enough, they said they only saw one show, and that was a show in Glasgow where the same group of artists, which is then Olaf Olierson, blah, 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 which invented, I think, a real new subjectivity of being an artist, having 360 shows a year or something, which is not possible, of course, being one person, you know, this is entrepreneurship, and which is nice. I don't want to critique that. I just want to say what we are doing is not just nature or something, you know. We are designing that, we make active decisions toward that. And okay, now we have this style of entrepreneurship art, and which is not discussable somehow, as it seems, because it's just there is a lack of discussion about that.
And it's just produced. It's just produced and consumed.
Yeah, it's nice, and people enjoy that, like more like event culture or something. Or not. We don't want to be negative with that. It's a phenomenon. And I think it's interesting that nobody finds it interesting to talk about that or to discuss that. And this article said that the only relation was theater and art. There was the only show where artists react somehow because they had to reflect the stage and blah, blah, blah. And it's so hard for artists to be in relation to stage. It was a show in theater in Glasgow, I don't know, and there was this lineup of artists doing something else, you know. And I thought, oh, wow, this is really interesting because normally they hate the theater so much in terms of how to behave, you know, the whole in museum or galleries, that's the opposite of theater. It's really the white cube and not the black cube, you know. It's not no cinema, it's
black
no
cube.
Yeah, but this is really different. We talk also different. Normally you can't do that in a museum, what we're doing here. And if I'm in a museum invited, I try to react on that museum. But I'm quite aware that I bring in there something, and if it's not, or if you, I think it's not, I'm quite aware that it's nearby being, how to say, albern, the word, like,
That's a difficult
one. The term word would be, I softly try to make a workaround to have this kitschy conflict of bad woman, loud, no, and I still do not want to say it. I really love it or something. And I think that's conflict enough at the moment. Because I don't know, I mean, I want to live at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have this self-destructive kind of subjectivity, which is a base of being an artist, if you're not. A boss, I would say. Anyway, is that an answer to the question?
It's an answer. Thank you. Any questions from the audience?
You show in, you were saying before that you were surprised that this last film was shown so much in the art context. Do you show specifically, like, you haven't been shown on TV or...
With TV, I have actually no contact, and I'm writing on the soap at the moment with friends, but it's because I think we're losing that mean somehow. And it's interesting also that...
what do you mean by losing that?
Because I see that, you know, we had all this engaged television culture, and friends of mine, like Florian Seifang, who was here last month here, he was so engaged with TV and, you know, Windows, they brought TV in, and the collective... what was the name again?
Blackwater.
Yes. And blah, 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 and all this, like, euphoric kind of subculture taking medias, and I think that's not possible at the moment with TV. TV is quite stuck in this, like, strange format, which had all this reality connection all the time. I don't know. I'm not too good with television.
But would you like, or would you be interested?
I would be interested in terms of the format, of course, and also because I like the radio, I like TV. Somehow I stopped watching TV since 2002 or something. It's really strange. It's not. I really like to be in that body where you have this, like, instead of fire or something. But I stopped it. And so I'm not too good at the moment. I have no overview or relation. But I have relation to experimental cinema and the supporters group, so to say. And we invented also a little verlag or contribution system. And they bring it then to festivals, the films also. And yeah, and that's always quite different, you know, what the people, their reaction, or the it's really amazing how different the audience react. It's maybe what you that's also an answer.
There is another question.
It feels like the aesthetic you use in this film, for example, with the mummies. Like it has kind of the soap aesthetic also, like a hospital soap, kind of German. But I repeat.
No, it's very understandable.
Mm-hmm. I think it was loud enough.
Yes. You can just say again.
Not more. Yeah, I saw the aesthetic of the. Especially the last film in the hospital, it's totally like where you know talking about soap and stuff. It's totally a soap aesthetic. It's kind of, if you look at it, it starts to it's really uncomfortable to watch, because it's totally, it doesn't serve you with an aesthetic that is kind of like Venice, that is really nice and stuff. It's more like it's Berlin, Germany, kind of.
I have no idea. Yeah, I think also what I mentioned before is also quite a question of money, really. I just don't want to say that it's only because, for example, in this film, we had a super nice camera woman, super professional, blah blah blah, actually making normally the high end fashion product shootings we see all the time. But of course, we don't have the means to use that much production means, and
but it seemed quite deliberate. It didn't seem.
It's okay.
Like,
yeah, I mean we do. Yeah, you know, if I really want to use another camera system, I think there's always a way to get in there. But maybe I don't know. We try to be not too much fixed on that, so to say, and that's again an effect on aesthetics. To see it as an, you see the borders quite good, and then I think also we want to be a little bit more spontaneous, so to say.
But I think it's not actually like a critic. It's like more. It's like it supports really this, because it's like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
like,
I know. And
it's also like advertisement kind of aesthetic. If you see like Mama, Papa, and Sohn together going in IKEA and buying stuff, and it's always this laughing and this really highlighted eyes kind of, and the sound from the back. It's just like, and you watch that 7 minutes. It's like, yeah, it really does something. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope there is always a little bit of rest of humor in it. And what I really want to say again, because I don't want to make that into coming really from that more active video kind of authorship scenery. I don't want to use video as a high-end production thing. I really want to spread it in television, which would be nice, but not possible at the moment. It's super that we have this with Azanar Cinema and Friends of German Cinematheque built up again a little system where we can be more helpful together to make all the bureaucratic, to send films and things like that, because it takes quite a lot of work also. I'm quite happy if I'm able to make one film in a year. And then it's so much work to get this little money together you need, and then it's so hard to sit over to send this, and you know. And it's nice that the ideas from the 60s come back somehow in that sense, but because we see so such a lot of moving picture culture at the moment. And so I'm happy about that, and I'm engaged in that, but I don't want to make it in sense of very high-end art production being a thing you could buy as an object. I think that's not the... I have not the relationship. I don't have the relationship also to music in another way. I don't want to have this, you know... I think it's around to get spread somehow. And this is not...
How do you look at the internet as a distribution platform? Do you have any of your videos online?
I'm not sure whether I have one. I'm so bad with... I guess there are parts on, of course, because I did show it quite a lot in several institutions. And I'm not active with YouTube or something or blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't take care. As the same reason I said before, also with sending, I'm not too good with bureaucracy, or even with my own bureaucracy, which appears or pop up if I make my computer working. And so I have not the closest relationship to it, but I think it would be totally okay if it's online.
But would you consider to upload them yourself, since you have all the copyright? You have the right to do it yourself. I mean, you said earlier that you wanted everybody to be able to see your movies.
Yes, I mean, that's why I try to go in public spaces and not too much. And I mean, I have to say, I have to change that also, because I mean, I have the feeling that the capitalistic idea at the moment gets so strong that I never worked with a gallery, and I have now two galleries, and they really try hard to bring that videos somehow in that object status, which is not functioning too good. And I have no idea. I mean, I think I wouldn't say no at the moment, because it's so strong. We really have to survive. I mean, I can't. It's no joke. There is no subculture at the moment where I can relate and work in another direction. I don't have it. Maybe you have it, or maybe you're working on that. I don't have it, and so I have to be quite flexible about that.
But wouldn't you say that the people who would consider to buy your works, wouldn't they buy them even if they were online? It's.
I have no idea. I hope, yes. And I would also put it online, you know, because it's already there. You can't stop it. It's like, I don't know where the hell. Last I was in Stockholm, in Copenhagen teaching, and in Odense, and then the student was coming to me. Yesterday I saw on a video festival your films, and I was, really? Nobody asked me ever, and it's not very friendly, but it's okay. I mean, they're quite multiplied in a certain, you know, like level, and I wouldn't stop that. I feel somehow proud if they get around. As you make like copies from former MCs or download some files from music, and this is not very. This is more the reason I would do four as to build up a functioning object selling digital system.
But this is what you're very much touching upon. What you're touching upon is really a conflict which is now looming, and I always feel that artists have a responsibility to take a very clear position vis-à-vis this, because if you recognize that you want the films to be in public domain, then you place them in the public domain, and that's exactly, I could think, what you were suggesting. And therefore, there is a different negotiation with the commercial world that might represent your other production, where the films are somehow exempt from that. And I do feel that, you know, as artists, we really have to make that clear and make that part of the kind of mixed economy upon which we rely.
Of course, I would always make my mind up about that, and as I said before, I'm really no fan about the whole pressure which shows up. But I would say at the moment, we can have that in academy or we can have that in artist circles, but reality is really different. It's just the fact, and I can't, I not even have the best access to that. I'm not too experienced, you know. I met stand artists not in gallery system, but in institutional system to have a slight, to have the chance to talk with him, and not because I'm, that's the meeting point. It's not this, I'm out of that anyway. But I think it's, I would criticize that, of course, and I'm totally in with you and with your opinion, but the reality at the moment, maybe it changed, and we have to confront it, it's really different. And it's it will change also, and because it's not, nothing is like, but it's always interesting to see why things are going, and it's not even, at the moment I would not say that it's good or bad, it's just a mirror of the other fields of society too, you know. It's quite a lot of the world of the things, looking to China, for example, that is, everything is related to production. And as I said in 2001, as I sing Hey Produktion, it's quite like there's really like a big believing in production at the moment. And that was not always like that. I mean, sitting in that building, for example, we could talk about, I think people building this kind of architecture was thinking about future and new forms of living together or something, which is nice, and I don't even think they, because everybody's always like, this is not functioning, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's very productive to think in that logics of this is working, this is not working. It's more interesting what we feel as nature and normal and blah, 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 and then to ask, okay, is that then what was beside and what was around and what is the conflict zones and so I was.
I think it would be interesting if you could go back to the narrative structure and what you mentioned, collective memory, because somehow I see in the last film almost a meta level to the film. You said you chose a very popular or song that everyone could relate to, and the way it ends, the song is he stops playing, but the song is keeping on playing. And
she's not even able to play.
Sorry,
this ghost figure is not even able to play.
He's not even okay. Oh, I see. That's
too. He's a very good pop star.
Okay, so it's just but did you have any more ideas about the narrative in itself, I mean, what is being said? Could you mention something about that? The way you make these ruptures all the time, like it creates funny laps, or...
That's quite general. I have no idea, but it's quite often that maybe that helps, for example, with this Hey Produktions, and there's always... At the moment, for example, I'm not the best reading person too, but there was quite a lot of theory also which was behind that. In these days, I was quite touched by this Deleuze interpretation of Foucault's text, and changed from, I forgot the name, it was a comment on this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe you were touched too. And I was also touched, and I was thinking, and I had, I opened once a bookshop with friends of mine, and there was always quite a contact to this kind of having books, new books, or discussion groups. It's B-books, I have to mention, because it was now on Documenta. The bookshop on Documenta was Pro Quadratmeter. And, but I stopped working there, and I had quite a lot of contact to theory people, which was kind of normal, I guess, in the 90s, because they had so much ideas about those changes were going on, or I don't know, it stopped quite a lot, and this is maybe where the narration is coming from, because I would not do the same thing as my colleagues did with their writings for dissertation or university or something, and I tried to find another access to that, so to say. And there's quite a lot of reading behind, but I wouldn't bring that in front. It would be also nice to do that once in a while.
One more question.
Last question. Well, I'm an outsider. I'm an architect. I'm probably the only architect here. And architecture is very important for you. And
I recognize it also if I look at the film.
And you're quite cruel to architecture in a sense.
Sorry.
Because you use architecture, like many filmmakers do, you know, whether it's Godard's Alphaville or others, as a rather antiseptic and rather banal and rather sterile environment.
But that's not true.
Well, it's a question.
Okay.
And you call it a non-utopian. You refer to post-Thermoplast architecture, mm-hmm. I agree with you, as being ancient and not being utopian.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is really, you know, for us architects, in a sense, we try to introduce the spookiness, the unusual features in the normative architecture, and that's our playground.
Mm-hmm.
You use it as a foil in which you introduce your disruptions, your transgressions. And my question is just, is there for you an architecture that is not sterile, that is not ancient, that is not dystopic,
mm-hmm.
like what you show about hospital environment?
Mm-hmm.
Is what for you is, particularly what's happening in Berlin right now, is there an architecture that is transgressing the limits of normality?
In Berlin I don't see, I think they are hardcore in Berlin, because at the moment they built a little village with one family house in Mauerpark in an urban zone, I have no idea, what they are doing. And first point I want to say, I'm not very euphoric about this architecture. The point with architecture is that you always have to react. That's really strong. Because your body has to relate somehow, and it gives quite a lot of limits. And of course I have I always thought it was very interesting if artists architects made discussions out of that. But I have maybe a little bit like an architecture shop from Berlin. That's all. Because it's amazing. And it's like first they changed all the names of the street, next they changed, from Karl Marx Street to Schofisa Lotte, blah, 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 thing. And then you see like that, what are they doing? They just rebuilt some architecture from 1850 or something. I mean, it's not even the 20s or something. It's really the very beginning of capitalistic system, as I interpreted that. And then I was like, where are they? What are they doing? And maybe they are all in China, or I don't know, but it's like, it's amazing. And then I'm not a profi with this architect. It's just like the level is maybe a little bit mean too, that I'm just trying to go through there. And actually, I'm always, at the moment, I try to make a skyscraper film. But more in the level of
destroy yourself.
No. To talk about it should be a sci-fi.
In Shanghai.
No, I don't know. No, more fantasy life. And I think for that idea, for example, fascinates me quite a lot. Even if it's not functioning and not very economically okay with all this like big outside things, but it's a strange idea that it was quite a change, I think. And I'm not too good with this utopian thing. I mean, it's always nice to have, somehow I lost the contact also a little bit, because do you have an architect beside of you, of course, which you appreciate in terms of bringing in something? Rem Koolhaas, for example, I feel not too content with him. I think he has this, like, as people would be like dots, and you have to organize all the time. It's always like, I feel strange being there too, in the thoughts of it. It's not very nice for me to follow the thoughts of Rem Koolhaas.
But, that's another discussion.
I think we'll continue maybe in an informal way. I would like to thank Judith and Henrik for the discussion, and also to announce that our next occasion is on the 12th of December in the same place, and we'll be hosting a documentary filmmaker from Poland, Maciej Drygas, who makes films which totally rely on the archival material. So please come back in, 3 weeks' time. Thank you. Good night.